You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
No Blaine today, just Justin, but I'm here with a little special episode with Darren Bousman. Darren Lynn Bousman is the director of Saw 2, 3, and 4, Repo, the Genetic Opera, The Barons, Mother's Day remake, a whole bunch of stuff. He's also really involved in a cool thing called the Tension Experience, which is basically like Michael Douglas's A Game in Real Life, and I would never go anywhere fucking near that. So... Here we talk about women in horror because it's Women in Horror Month, and his new film, St. Agatha, is a cast of talented women of young and old, and it was really awesome. And I realized after watching it that this has been a theme in his career where he really highlights women in his horror films. And so we talked about that, and we talked a little bit about his use of body horror. We talked a little bit about some of his other films, and it was about 20-minute chat or so, so I hope you enjoy it. This month, our episodes are presented by Rough Cut T-Shirts. Check them out. Our friend Liam from the Cinepunks podcast is one half of the dudes behind that. And those two guys in Cinepunks, Liam and his partner, Josh, they're actually guests on an episode we already recorded, but it's not going to go up probably till the beginning of March because we have two episodes of Black Women in Horror coming up to celebrate Black History Month and Women in Horror Month. So those are our next two episodes, and then Liam and Josh will be coming after that. So thanks to Rough Cut. Get those t-shirts. They're really freaking cool. And also thanks to just all of you for listening. That song you just heard was Josh Alvarez's band, Crossed Keys, and I'll probably throw a couple more of their songs in the last couple episodes because, like I said, they're guests of ours coming up, and because their music is freaking awesome. So enjoy that, enjoy Darren, and come back next week for a regularly scheduled episode. And if you want to kind of watch along, we will post on our social media, at Grind Messiah at Twitter and at Grindhouse Messiah on Instagram, with those movies a couple days before we post the episode so that you can watch along and join in and be part of the game. Not the Michael Douglas game, because I'm not interested in that shit, but you might be. And here's Darren, who could talk about that and a bunch of other stuff. Thanks a lot, guys, and in the words of Blaine, peace.
I actually just got a chance to watch St. Agatha, so I'm gonna start. You know, just let you know. I read up on it too after I finished up the film, and I saw a lot of people had compared it to like Handmaid's Tale, Rosemary's Baby, called it like feminist, powerful body horror film, nunsploitation revival. I think that's all earned, but I thought it was perfect because February, obviously, as you're aware, is Women in Horror Month. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time today talking about how you seem to have a strong tendency to actually really focus on strong female leads and characters. So I thought it would be really awesome to really spend a little time on that today. So I think that's what we're going to focus on. But first, why don't you tell folks who are listening who you are? Who's Darren Limbo?
I guess starting with some witty, funny answer, but... I'm a director. I directed, most people will know me from Saw 2, 3, and 4. But I also directed Repo, the Genetic Opera, which is, I think, more of a cult thing that's kind of people know me for. And I'm a writer, and recently what I'm really excited about that I'm working on are these immersive theater productions. If you've ever seen The Game, the Michael Douglas movie, The Game, I do that for real. So I have a company that we basically fuck with your life for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You never know when it starts or when it ends. And it involves real encounters in the real world with a, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of actors over the course of, you know, 6 months to a year, where you yourself are ingrained in your own mystery. So I'm doing that. But now my answer's kind of changed. And normally I would say I'm a filmmaker, an artist, but now I'm just kind of a father and dad. And I stay at home most of the time and take care of my two kids. And sometimes I get to make movies, such as St. Agatha.
Awesome. Hey, actually, I've heard a lot about your immersive theater stuff because I'm a regular listener to the Shockwaves podcast, and I know you're friends with some of those folks, and Elric has talked about how you completely fucked up his life with that before. So,
it's a crazy, insane thing, but it's not for everyone, that's for sure. But it definitely requires it requires you to participate in the narrative as opposed to a movie, which you just sit back and watch. You are a participant. Like, it involves you having to act to be able to unlock what we do to you. But it's intense.
Yeah, I don't know that it's for me. So, thankfully, I live on the other side of the country, so I don't even I can't even be enticed to come to it yet. Yeah, so that's good. Maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Excellent.
You brought up some of the films people might know you from or the Saw films. You know, believe it or not, despite being an avid horror film person, the only Saw film I've ever seen is Jigsaw, the most recent one. Know you from that, but Repo is the film that got me into you. I'm a huge Repo fan. My wife and I watch that probably four or five times a year. it's one of my absolute favorite movies. Yeah. And I have seen probably about half of your films. Also really big fan of Mother's Day, The Barons. I'm a huge fan of Abattoir, which I don't know that there are as many when I look at the internet, but I'm one of them. So I'm a big fan of that film as well.
It's always funny to me when certain people like movies that other people hate. And Abattoir I got a lot of hate on, but I'm a big fan of it as well. I think it's a cool spin on the haunted house genre.
Yeah, it is. I want to focus a little bit on the female lead stuff, but the one thing I want to mention with Abattoir is I watched that, and I think that my experience was a very particular one in watching that film, because I started it at about 2 a.m., with everybody else in the house asleep. I'm also a father, and so I'm watching it with headphones on, which made me notice how the sound design in that film is incredible. Like, I just got to put that out there.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of films with headphones. But man, I started that at 2, so I finished it, just shy of 4 o'clock, and I didn't sleep the rest of the night. I was so fucked up
I tell you what's great. I think a lot of that has to do with Mark Seyfried's score. He has a lot of subliminal things he does in the score with weird demonic voices and just weird things. If you listen, Mark Seyfried, who also did the music for St. Agatha, not only is he a composer, he's a sound designer. And so he added a lot of these really, really sinister, crazy, you know, beautiful things in the sound design that you don't realize is freaking you out. And then the more you listen to it, you're like, okay, holy shit.
Thank you for noticing that, I guess. I was so astounded to see that not a lot of people loved that movie. And I was like, and people are like, you're crazy. I'm like, well, I'm not.
I had a conversation about this earlier today, and I'm going to kind of regurgitate it to you as well. But I think a lot of problems with people is going in with certain expectations and those expectations not being met based on how it was sold to them. And I'll give you an example is that, you know, a lot of people love, I use this a lot, but let's say that I called you up and I said, hey, do you want to go to a steak restaurant? And you're like, oh, that's awesome. And you get excited and we're going to go to a steak restaurant. And we walk into the steak restaurant and the menus come and it's sushi. But then you're pissed. Not that you dislike sushi, but you wanted steak. You were sold steak and it's sushi. I think a lot of times the marketing people sell movies how they think it'll sell the most to mainstream audiences, even though that's not what it really is. that was a huge issue with The Baron, which is one of my favorite movies that I've done. But it's not a monster movie. There's nothing monsterish about it. But yeah, there's a Jersey Devil in it for 30 seconds, maybe. It's a guy's descent into madness. But they sold it as a Jersey Devil movie. So when you see that and you walk into it and you don't see the Jersey Devil, you immediately are mad. And you're like, this sucks. This isn't a Jersey Devil movie. Now, if it was sold to you completely differently, maybe you would like the film. And I think with Abattoir, it's another thing that it was sold as a very particular type of film, which it wasn't. It was very quirky and noir and all this other stuff. But you sell it as a specific type of film, I think people just get angry. So in my next life, I want to be a marketing exec on my own films, just so I can hopefully sell them in the way that I think would have the best, you know, the best audience reaction to what the movie actually right. is.
Well, and you know, what's funny is that
sorry, that was my little dive.
That's okay. The Barons is also one of my other favorite films that you've done, and so I think what benefited me a lot with both Abattoir and Barons, like you're saying, is actually the fact that I'd heard almost nothing about them before I watched them. And so I didn't go in
yeah.
with expectations. And I think sometimes going in with no expectations is the best way to go into stuff. And I'm definitely a victim often of the hype machine. So, like, if a movie is super hyped, I sometimes I'm like, oh, that was fine. Whatever. You know, like, and
yeah.
because I was so, like, in my head so ready for it, you know. And I completely get what you're saying. But that said, like, The Barons, Repo, the Saw films, Mother's Day, all of these movies have a strong female in either the lead or like the co-lead role and really strong performances that it seems like you've intentionally tried to showcase women in your directorial career. Is that an intentional thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, here's the reality is, you know, maybe it's the way that I was raised, my own mother. Maybe it's my wife who terrifies me. Maybe it's the fact I have a daughter now. I don't know, but I think that I love seeing different slants on tired tropes. And we've all seen the dude, the machismo-like guy who saves the day and does whatever, a million times. Listen, I love The Rock. I will go see every movie that guy puts out, but I want to see a girl do the same thing The Rock does. And to me, that's cooler. And I'll give you an example. And actually a movie featuring The Rock, the new Jumanji. That girl in Jumanji. I just forgot her name, and she's amazing. And it's like she's such a badass, and to me that's more interesting to watch. I'm more excited to watch that than I am something else. And so, yeah, very early on in my career, when I was attached to the first Saw film, Amanda had to be the lead. I had to make Amanda. That was it. That was my thing. Like she had to be – it was her story. Saw 3, it was Amanda and her story. Repo, it's Alexa Vega, Shiloh's story. Mother's Day, it's Rebecca De Mornay against Jamie King. All of these films, Abattoir, it's Jessica Lowther, Julia Talbin's story. To me, it's just more interesting. And it's not even something I think about now. It's just something that I think is, to me, more dynamic than seeing the same thing we've seen again and again and again.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. And I felt like, you know, in watching St. Agatha and seeing people talking about the guy from Saw made this feminist film, I'm start looking at your body of work and I'm like, well, he's kind of always showcased women. That's kind of something he's done, you know? It wasn't like this revelation to me, you know, that you were suddenly doing that. And I think anyone who knows your body of work really would get that because it clearly looks like that's something that you care to do. And it's not to say, you know, the Barons, Stephen Moyer is amazing in that film. So it's not like men don't have their part. You know, the men have their part, you know, but at the same time, there's something like, you know, part of what makes Repo for me is Alexa Vega. You know, she's just brilliant in that lead role and, everything from just, you know, cheesy teenager stuff to, like just really badass, like, you know, she's just awesome. And that's, you know,
yeah.
Mother's Day, again, like you said, you know, it's the battle of these two women, you know, and it's fantastic.
Well,
you know,
that's what hit me with, you know, what I did right before this, not a lot of people know this, but the thing I shot directly before shooting this, I'm trying to remember now. It's been so long. I was after Abattoir. I went to Japan. I went to Tokyo and shot this thing called Crow's Blood. which I was an executive producer on and helped with the script. And I was in Tokyo for maybe 3.5 months. And it was a set in an all-girls school. And every character in it was a female. It's just, again, it's one of those things that I gravitate towards. And it's the same reason, you know, I'll tell you, Repo kind of really solidified it for me. Because I did a lot of, you know, I'd go out and I'd go to a lot of these screenings. And the amount of teenage girls that would come up dressed like the character, it's empowering. And it's cool to see that. It's cool to give people strong characters that they can relate to or want to emulate or want to be. And that's exciting. So I kind of look for that. And St. Agatha is very much in the lines of Mother's Day in the way that, you know, a female protagonist against a female antagonist. You know, you have a great protagonist and antagonist going head-to-head. And I think you're going to continue to see that. In fact, the next movie that I'm currently shot already, starting in the can, Maggie Q is the lead. She is the number one. It's her movie. So I always love seeing things like, again, what you just said about the feminine. But you're right, the feminism thing. I've always been doing that. It's not new. It's been there from the very beginning of me doing films.
Right, right. And I mean, and don't get me wrong. I don't care about the tags of it is or isn't feminist or isn't that. What I care about is clearly your films have always centered on a lot of different themes, but one of the things you seem intentional about is including strong female characters, whether they're the leads or they're like, you know, like I said, co-leads, whatever. There's always a strong female, and often more than one, but it never strikes me as something that feels contrived or forced. It feels very natural. And I guess despite the fact that I hadn't really thought about it that way until I started reading about what people had to say about St. Agatha and stuff, but that's when I was like, oh, man, it's perfect. This is Women in Horror Month. Let's talk about it, you know? I'm glad to see that. So in St. Agatha, you have Sabrina Kern's the lead, and kind of a up-and-comer. I didn't really recognize her prior to this. General Hospital's Carolyn Hennessy. You know, I mean, you have yeah. It's a very female-centric cast. There's like, what, two or three men in the whole film.
It's all with a couple of guys. But, you know, let me give you a story about, and this is a story I've told now 100 times, I'm going to keep telling it. That before this movie, the reason you haven't seen Sabrina is she's never been in anything. This is Sabrina's first feature film. She's done a couple of short films before this, but what makes her story interesting was she's from Switzerland, so her native language is Swiss German. So here she comes out of the gate in her first film, and she's speaking a different language, and she's the lead, which to me, I've barely mastered the English language, and I've lived here almost over 40 years. She's been here like 2 years, and she's leading a movie in English with no accent. So I'm a huge fan of Sabrina.
Yeah, that's impressive. I would never have guessed that the English was not her first language at all. So that's pretty damn impressive. She was extremely impressive. Of course, while most people would probably recognize Carolyn Hennessy as a daytime, you know, soap opera, she's been in a lot of stuff over the years, and she, you know, kind of, she's the one you got kind of pit as the main antagonist. And then, you know, I noticed Hannah Fearman in this, Courtney Halverson from Unfriended, just a really strong stable. And, you know, how did some of the other people come to be? Did you cast them intentionally, go after them, or they, you know, kind of the traditional, tried out and you really liked them?
It's never traditional. It's always a weird story. So Carolyn Hennessy was brought to me by one of the line producers, actually one of the producers, so John Sackett, who was also line producing Tension for me at the time. And he goes, you got to meet with her. And I always was familiar with Carolyn's work. And he set up a coffee. And at 5 minutes into the coffee, I texted him and I was like, stop looking. She's her. It's Mother Superior. And she had this thing about her, and it's the same thing that Tobin Bell has about him. They have the ability to make you feel uncomfortable. I felt, as I was sitting with her, that I was an insect being inspected. And I realized now that what she was doing was literally her audition. She was auditioning for me without auditioning. She was showing me who Mother Superior was. And so immediately I was like, that's her. You are her. So Carolyn was that. I met her at the coffee, and that was all I needed to see. Courtney blew me away with the audition. Someone gave me an audition tape of her, and she's got something in her eyes that is so powerful, so intense, so beautiful. Courtney just is mad. Then you have Lindsay Syme, who is the other girl in there. Again, same thing. I saw her audition tape and the subtlety of which she can convey emotion. I didn't need to see anyone. This was a very easy casting. It was literally, I just looked at her audition tapes once and I was like, that's it. That's the person.
Lindsay is one of those people that does a lot of the acting with her eyes. Like, she has a very expressive eyes. I don't know. Like, she kept striking me. Whenever Lindsay was in the scene, I was like, wow. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. They all are. And I'm extremely lucked out with this talented cast. And then, you know, Hannah Fearman from VHS, Siren. I couldn't have asked for a better go at this with these people.
Yeah, I actually got to meet Hannah at the Buried Alive Film Festival. I'm up in Philly, but I did the PR for the festival down there in Atlanta, and I got to they did the premiere of a film that she was one of the main characters in, and it was really cool. She was really sweet, so I definitely, she seems like a pretty awesome person as well. My co-host on my podcast, actually, who's been helping out with that festival for a while, he got to meet you when you were doing touring Repo down in Atlanta some time ago. He actually met you in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. So. Well, I mean a lot of people in the bathroom, so I apologize if I don't remember exactly, but the bathroom is where.
Oh,
I
no, it's okay. You actually, he was not staying for the Repo because he was in a different event, and you invited him in, and he went in for free on your tab because you got talking.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, so
right.
It's kind of a funny story, but yeah, I don't really have a whole lot more to say about St. Agnes. I don't want to ruin anything. I like the no expectation things that people have. Like I said, I want people to go in and just see it, you know. But if you were to do a non-spoiler, you know, synopsis, and I would say, tell me, so you don't spoil anything, what people, you know, what is St. Agatha about?
St. Agatha is a story, a timely story, about a woman's inability to control the outcome of a child growing inside her own body. It's a girl who goes into a convent looking for a place to go to term with her child and basically coast off of the niceties of this convent, only to find out that the convent has much more nefarious plans for her. However, on a different level, what I think it's about, which is my favorite thing, is it's about a grifter, a con woman, going against a series of con women. And I think that to me is really exciting. It's not just one con. It's you start to realize that these nuns are not who they appear to be. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah, and no, it's perfect. And like I said, I don't want to give out the tiny details, but the story is in the details. A lot of great things that people, I think, will pick up on. And one of the things you clearly have another knack for, besides working with some great female actors, is body horror is definitely a thing for you. and this film certainly has its share of body horror. Anytime you're dealing with another life growing inside you, that's already a bit of a body horror thing. What's drawn you to kind of the body horror? Is there something about that that draws you in that you want to tackle? I'm just curious.
You know, it's always. I think that I have my own fear of mortality, obviously, and I think that I just do things that disgust and scare me. You know, I go back to the Saw films when I looked at things like I was terrified of needles. And so the idea of the needle trap became, how do you exaggerate the fear of needles? Well, you're putting millions of needles. And so I just take these small ideas. You know, I bit my example. You bite your tongue when you're out at dinner and you have that excruciating pain, the same way you feel if you get a small paper cut, this excruciating pain. Well, what is the exaggeration of that? Well, cutting out your tongue. So it's just that. And I think it's something you can all relate to because we all have bodies and we've all hurt ourselves in these bodies. So think about that in the way that, you can't necessarily relate to a monster chasing you through your woods, because it's not something that there's no entry point, but you can relate to breaking a bone, breaking a foot, biting a tongue. That's all things you can relate to. So I've always kind of gravitated towards that.
That definitely makes a lot of sense there. And I think that, it's obviously a subgenre or not even a genre, because to me, a lot of horror, good horror has some body horror in it. So it's not even just a genre of itself.
Exactly.
But to me, it's, definitely something I like in my horror films. I like them to deal with that. Like you're saying, it's something that you can relate to. Everybody's experienced some kind of pain, and that makes it a little easier to relate to. Now, one thing I don't relate particularly to, but I really like in films, is kind of the old nunsploitation tropes, which is something you kind of get into a little bit, although I wouldn't, it's not nunsploitation in that the crazy devil style sexuality or something, but there's a little bit of some of those tropes and things going on. Is that a kind of subgenre of exploitation film that you're interested in?
Absolutely. Let me go back. I love movies, right? And I watch everything. I don't know.
Yeah.
When we made out, the word nunsploitation was never mentioned once when filming this movie. Not once. That was not something that any of us thought of. It wasn't until we went to Overlook Film Festival and someone said the word nunsploitation that I was like, okay, yeah, there's nuns with shotguns and they're doing horrible, evil things. When I think nunsploitation, they're a lot more violent and I don't want to say grindhousey, but trashy.
What I think of too. Yes, I agree with you. That's why I wanted to say you're not like a straight up nunsploitation film, but yeah.
Exactly. So I don't think this is straight nunsploitation. There are some things that maybe go into that, but I call this it's much more of a really sick and fucked up drama. That's what it is. And I think, again, in large part due to the amazing performances by my talented group of actors, they could have easily pushed us in a different direction. It easily could have been hammy and cheesy. And there are moments of that, absolutely. I mean, the last scene is not lost on me. She strangles someone with a ridiculous body part. I get it.
But yep.
The performances themselves are so, I think, well done that it kind of is – I don't know if I would necessarily call it a nunsploitation.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would either, but I've seen it mentioned in reference to your film, so it made me think just about, kind of the Catholic Church and nuns and stuff in horror film. And obviously, you wouldn't call, a lot of films that have the Catholic Church involved and nuns involved nunsploitation, but because there's so many nuns and it takes place in a convent, I see why somebody would think, that word would come to mind.
I think the most nunsploitation part of it is there's a sequence with shotguns and the nuns. And I think that to me is when I think of that nunsploitation, and that's what I look at and see. Then again, you look at a movie like, I don't know if you've seen Ken Russell's The Devil, which was, I love that film. But I don't consider that film grindhousey at all, but it is considered an unsploitation. So, listen, I'll take it.
It's got some really, really graphic and crazy elements in it, but it's also kind of elevated horror in a lot of ways. That's a really bizarre movie there's not a lot of things I can put in the same category. We've covered some other Ken Russell on a podcast before, Altered States. I think that's him, right? Yeah. So we've covered some stuff, before, but we have yet to cover The Devils, although, that's one that I definitely, want to get to. So that said, if people are, getting to a point now, where, you can see your film, it's coming out, I think, tomorrow, and so by the time this is out, it's out now. So, is it going to be a wide release? Yeah. Is it going to be a kind of a smaller release with VOD? How can people check it out?
What city are you in? You said
I'm in Philly, really? And we do have it playing tomorrow at the Roxy, I believe.
It's in about 20 cities right now, but the easiest, most direct way to watch it is go to iTunes. You can get it on iTunes. It's on all the VOD platforms. I don't care how you view it, just view it. And I think it's a good movie to watch with a bunch of people. We had the premiere last night, and it's so great because, you become so desensitized watching these movies. Like, I've seen it maybe a million times. And you just kind of forget what it is. And you watch it with an audience. You hear the screaming and the yelling and the gasping and the people turning away. And to me, that's what it's all about. So however you see it, invite your friend over, watch it. And please tweet about it. Talk about it. That's the only way these type of movies get made, is through your spreading the word.
Awesome. Well, Darren, I know you got a busy schedule of talking to people, so I'm going to let you roll in a minute. But thank you so much for coming on. I want to extend the invitation down the road when you're not doing a ton of press and you want to come on and do a full episode with us. We would love to have you talk about any of your favorite horror movies or exploitation movies of all time. So come on down. You're always welcome. And that's really that's really all I got. So is there anything else where people can check out, you know, what you're up to? Are you on Twitter? Are you on any of those places where people can see what you're doing?
I'm on all the social medias. Find me on Twitter. I am Darren_Bousman. I'm on Instagram. It's my name, Darren Bousman. Those are two. I mean, I'm on Facebook. I don't use it as much as I use Twitter or Instagram, but Darren Bousman as well there. So,
and if anybody lives out west and wants to do check out the tension, what's the tension? Is that what it's called? Tension?
The tension experience. Yeah, the tension experience.
Yeah. Is that also, like, is there a website and stuff that people can check that out?
Yep. Thetensionexperience.com.
That's easy. So we'll link that stuff up. People could definitely check that stuff out. And thanks a lot.
Away from his love. Oh,
Well, it just fits in with the body horror, right? Like, you're just going to cough up your lung, literally.
You're going to hear it, so just, yeah, I hope you like it.
Hey, I'm not worried about it, man.